Colossians chapter number 3. The Bible says in verse number 5, "Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication and uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which thing's sake the wrath of God cometh upon the children of disobedience, in the which you also walked some time when you lived in them. But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in you all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another, if any have a quarrel against any. Even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness." You probably noticed a couple of phrases there. Verse 8, put off. Verse 10, put on. Verse 12, put on. Verse 14, put on. And it's talking here about the clothing or the dressing up of the inner man. We are taught in verse 10, "And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him." And I want to talk about dressing up the inner man today. Dressing up the inner man. Christianity is a faith that works on us from the inside out. We don't want to be Pharisees where we just clean up the outside. And our Lord talked about the Pharisees, the hypocrites in his day. He said, "You are whited sepulchers, but inside you are filled with dead men's bones." He said to those Pharisees who opposed him, they were very, very religious, very, very fundamental in their beliefs, very strict in observing all the laws of the Bible, but it was all outward. It was all outward. And inside, they were filled with dead men's bones. They were dead on the inside. Man, we don't want to. It's easy for us to fall into that trap. Just as human beings, it's kind of natural to want to just kind of clean up the outside, whatever, impress people or put on a good show. But Christianity is a faith that works on the inside and works in our hearts. The master teacher Paul and all the master teachers of the Bible, if you want to learn how to teach, study the master teachers of the Bible, people like Jesus. Amen? Paul and Peter. So oftentimes they would use illustrations that we all relate to, as they did here. And everyone in this room, without exception, has had the experience of putting off dirty clothes and putting on clean clothes. And master teachers often use experiences like that that every one of us can relate to. Jesus said, "You must be born again." Nobody ever got here without being born the first time. We were born. There was a day of our birth. You go on to say, "You must be born again." There's got to be a day of your spiritual birth. It's not something that you evolve into a Christian. No, you're birthed into God's family. At salvation, Jesus used a universal experience to teach us a spiritual truth. And here Paul is using a universal experience to teach us a truth. I don't care if you live in the poorest country on earth and all you got is, you know, two shirts. Eventually, those people put off the dirty ones and put a clean one on. And so he's using this illustration of clothing, dressing up, and in a spiritual metaphor to teach us about our need to dress up the inner man. I want to focus on that for a little while later, but notice, first of all, there's things we've got to put off. It says in verse number 8, "But now ye also put off all these." It's a It's a transitional phrase here in verse 8 that says, okay, I just talked about a bunch of things you need to put off in verses 5 through 7, but also you need to put these off too. And man, there's quite a list here. We'll just kind of go through and define these so we know what they're talking about, because some are really big, huge words that we don't use much anymore in our English. But I want you to notice that we need to do this, mortify. And over in Romans 8, number 13, if you want to write that down as a comparative verse for verse 5 of Colossians 3:15, in Romans 8:13 it says, if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the flesh. Have you ever noticed how your flesh just wants to keep living? Have you ever noticed how your flesh just wants to keep troubling you every day? Now, the difference between the flesh and the Spirit, the flesh is the natural inclinations of the sinful person, the sinful human being, myself included, to want to just let the flesh guide and lead our lives. That is the appetites of our bodies. That's when we live in the flesh, is when the appetites of our bodies control us and control our behavior and our actions and our thoughts. But the Bible says, if you through the Holy Spirit of God do mortify the deeds of your flesh, don't try this on your own. Ask for the Holy Spirit's help. Ask for the power of Almighty God in your life to put down the flesh so that you do not follow the flesh, so you're not a slave to your own flesh and your own appetites. We've all seen people who are slaves to their own flesh and their own appetites and the sometimes horrific consequences they have to pay the rest of their life. But there's a better life for us in God, in the Spirit, and that's where through the Spirit we mortify the deeds of the flesh. Now that word mortify comes up here again in verse 5. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. The word mortify means to put to death. Put to death. We use the word mortician to describe those that work in funeral homes. It says, put to death, therefore, your members which are upon this earth. And then it begins to list some things, pretty big words here. The first is fornication. And fornication is something that is extremely commonplace in the United States of America, probably all over the world, I don't know, but fornication is any type of sexual activity outside of a biblical marriage. We are supposed to put that to death. There is to be no sexual activity outside of a biblical marriage according to the Scriptures. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 3, it says it should not be mentioned once among the saints. Now, we become a child of God by faith in Jesus Christ. And Peter, we'll come back to Paul here in a minute. In fact, you don't even have to turn there. I'll read this. Peter was talking about the increment of the Christian graces in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verses 5 through 7. And he said this, and some of you know this. He said, and besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith what? Brother Dan, virtue. Amen. He just preached about that in men's meeting. Add to your faith virtue, and then there's seven increments of the faith. Add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, knowledge temperance, temperance godliness, patience, godliness, brotherly love, kindness, and then finally charity. All right, I'm not talking about Peter today. We'll go back to Paul in a minute. But what was the very first thing Peter said you need to add to your faith? Virtue. What is virtue? Moral purity. The first thing we should do as soon as we're born again is begin to live a moral life. Begin to live a moral life. Why? Because we need to be a good testimony to this world that we can live a life of self-control by the power of the Holy Spirit of God. And so we're supposed to mortify fornication. Then it talks about uncleanness, and this word is just a general word for any kind of moral or physical uncleanness. Believers in Christ ought to be the cleanest people on earth in their morals, as well as in their physical bodies, their clothes, their homes, their cars, their yards. The good Lord wants us to be clean. Old-timers used to say this, cleanliness is next to what? Godliness. And I believe that's not a phrase in the Bible, but I believe it's based upon Scripture. That we ought to mortify uncleanness. We ought to keep ourselves clean on the outside and everything we own clean, but we also ought to have moral purity on the inside. Then it talks about inordinate affection. Boy, there's a big word. This means unnatural affections, passionate lusts. And there are a lot of inordinate. That word inordinate refers to something that isn't natural. There are a lot of passionate lusts that people get involved in these days and age, which become perversions. And pretty soon their perverted behavior, they begin to try to justify. And we need to be careful about that. Some people think that birth is some right to participate in some kind of behavior. I was born this way. You ever heard people say that? Well, I behave this way because I was born this way. We were all born with sinful inclinations because we're sinners. The Bible says there's not a just man on earth that doeth good and sinneth not. I was born a sinner. But that does not justify my sinful inclinations and whatever roads or journeys those sinful inclinations take us on. Paul talked about the motions of sin. Sin's always in motion. Sin never says, let's stop here, that's enough. Romans 7:5 talks about the motions of sins. And boy, the motions of sins will take people into behaviors in their life that they'd probably in their childhood or something never think they would ever get involved in. And some of these people who don't want to face their accountability to God and their conviction of the Holy Spirit will try to just pass it off and say, well, I was born this way. Very famous singer today, Lady Gaga, who just reduced her last album, or whatever you call them nowadays, CD is called Born This Way. That's the title of it. And it's basically a trying to justify a behavior. I was born this way. We are born sinners. The Bible says in Acts 17 and verse 30, in the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. God has commanded our call to repent. God has commanded you to repent. God has commanded Lady Gaga to repent. Doesn't matter how we were born. We were born sinners. And her inclinations, her sinful inclinations have taken her into her behavior. My sinful inclinations have taken me into my behavior and yours and so on and so forth. But none of it is justified. God commandeth all men everywhere to repent. 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 He doesn't say go around and try and justify your behavior. Repentance. To have a change of mind so thoroughly about a behavior that is wrong, that it leads us to a complete change of action. Inordinate affection. Evil concupiscence, verse 5. This is talking about evil passions and desires for that which is forbidden. We need to put that off. That's considered dirty clothing. Going way back to Adam and Eve, there was a lust for the forbidden. Eve in the garden. She had the whole garden, all the trees of the garden. She could have had pleasures forevermore in the presence of God. But she started eyeing up that one tree that was forbidden. And she said, I want that. And then she was seduced by Satan into participating in it, and the rest is history. What terrible consequences when somebody has an evil desire for something that is forbidden by the Scriptures. Then it says covetousness. Covetousness is just simply desiring that which another has. In love with the things of this world. The love of money, the love of assets. The desire for that which belongs to someone else. These things are to be mortified. And he goes on to say, verse 6, for these things' sake, the wrath of God cometh upon the children of disobedience. We need to believe in the wrath of God. I took that little phrase and went through the Bible, the wrath of God. I found that it was listed 10 times in the Bible. But what surprised me was this. Only once was it ever mentioned in the Old Testament. Most of the times it speaks about the wrath of God. It's in the New Testament. 9 times. speaks about the wrath of God. We need to have some good New Testament preaching in this day and age, which includes the love of God, but also the wrath of God. There is a balance, and we must be balanced students of the Bible. Sounds like the president's calling somebody. Got to be important to call. All right. It talks here about the wrath of God. And then it says in verse 7 about us. Verse 7, let's read that. Colossians 3, 7. In the which you also walked sometime when you lived in them. It's talking about our past life. In other words, we used to do all these things, fornication, so on. But now, verse 8, ye also put off all these. See that word all? I got that circled in my Bible so that the next time I read it, that word will jump out of the page. That the next few things he mentions are not some kind of like, you know, options or again, excuses. Well, I was born this way. But now you also put off. Now, listen, brethren, God would not tell us to do something if he could not enable us to do it. That's our hope today. All right? That's our expectation today, that God's not only telling us to do this, but he can give us his grace and his Holy Spirit to do it. We can put off these. And then he mentions anger, wrath, malice. Those three go together. They're compounded. One gets worse after the other, malice being the worst. Anger is just simply a person who has a temper, whose spirit is agitated very easily. A person who is irritated very easily, you have an anger issue. And God wants you to put that off. He doesn't say go to some course where you can learn to manage it. He says put it off. It must be possible for a person who has an anger issue to be able to put it off. That's not good clothing for a Christian to wear. In fact, it says in James 1:20, the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. A man or a woman who's doing things in wrath or anger, they're not going to do God's right. For instance, parenting. If you're a mom and dad, you got anger problems, anger issues, and you're always trying to raise your children in anger and scolding, and so you're not going to do God's work as a father and mother. Sorry. It's not going to happen. We need help. We need God's help. We've got to put this off. You don't leave it around. Solomon said, anger rests in the bosom of fools. You don't leave it around. You put it off. You can throw your dirty clothes away. You put them off. You put clean clothes on. Wrath is worse than anger. Wrath is heated passion, which boils up indignation. And malice is the worst. That's when you physically want to hurt somebody or kill somebody. All this needs to be put off. What else? Blasphemy, that's when we speak injuriously about God or holy things. Filthy communication, that's profanity, four-letter words. Then lying, verse number 9. Seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds. So notice that, put off, verse 8. Put off, take your clothes off. It's a universal experience. Your clothes get dirty, you put them off. Some of you, I don't know, maybe grew up on the farm. I grew up on the farm. We had 200 pigs, 400 chickens. We had to go out and feed them every day before school, every day before church. But believe me, you didn't do that and wear the same clothes to school. Just didn't do it. Some of you are farmers. You know what that's like. You come back in, you put off your dirty clothes, you put on your clean clothes, and you go to school. Put on your clean clothes, go to church. It's just the way we live. 365 days a year, except on leap years. Then it was 366 days. Never had a vacation. Never left. I remember leaving the state once growing up, and that was to take my brother George to Pennsylvania to Bible college. That's it. But you have to put off your clothes. You have to put off your clean clothes. Listen, I took a shower this morning, okay? When you get out of the shower, you don't go back to the dirty clothes hamper and grab your dirty clothes and put them back on. And yet that's what believers do every day. They get into their Bible, Now are you clean through the word which I have spoken unto you? Amen. Then they go to prayer, confess their sins, they're clean. They get up, go right back to the dirty clothes hamper and put their anger back on. Put their evil concupiscence back on. Their inordinate affections. They put the same old dirty clothes on every day. We wouldn't do that in real life. That is the physical realm. But we do that in the spiritual realm. Doesn't make sense. Leave the dirty clothes in the dirty clothes hamper. But you can't be going around in the new man naked. You got to clothe them. And then it tells us exactly what to put on. Let's look at this for the rest of the message now, beginning in verse 10. Put off, verse 8. Put off, verse 9. Now put on, verse 8. Or verse 9, 10, rather. And have put on the new man. We're talking about the inner man. And notice something about this inner man, which is renewed in the knowledge after the image of him that created him. This inner man is a created being in you. This is the new birth. When you're born again, you're born anew, and you now have what we feel is like a new nature. It's actually a new man. We are new creatures in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor availeth us, nor uncircumcision availeth anything, but a new creature. Galatians 6:5. That's the only thing that matters. You've got to be a new creature. And we've got to put on the new man. And then it tells us, more specifically, after verse 10, what that means in verse 12. And here's what it means. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved. Notice number one, bowels of mercies. Bowels of mercies. Now, the bowels are not the intestines and so on and so forth that, you know, sort out our food and all that kind of stuff. Obviously, it's talking about spiritual things here. It's talking about our inward affection. The bowels were considered at this time that the Bible was written, the seat of the passions, the seat of tender affections, things like pity and compassion, or as it says, mercies. Man, there ought to be a change in our nature as believers in Jesus Christ, where maybe we were completely merciless before we got saved. Now we should become merciful. We start having feelings for other people. We start having mercy for other people. We're talking about dressing up the inner man. We're talking about dressing up the church. Dressing up the church. Every one of us as individuals is members of the church. And as individuals improve, the church improves. And brethren, you and I need to put on bowels of mercies. That means we maybe went from just thinking about ourselves. That's all life was about, was me, myself, and I, to now where we start having feelings for other people. Feelings of mercy, feelings of compassion, feelings of pity. Boy, I just feel sorry for him or her, whatever the situation might be. You feel for somebody, like a few people already said, boy, I didn't know that about Ida. We're shaking hands. I didn't know that about Ida. And you could just see how they feel for her. This is good. Some will actually write her name down and pray for her. Some people will do that. Some people will pray for Nick and Pat that I mentioned earlier and say, praise God, we got a couple new people at the chapel today. And they'll start putting on bowels of mercies and their life becomes about other people. And then it says this, kindness. I did a study on kindness this week, and it's something that, a definition that I really never knew before, although I've seen it in people, I've tried to practice it myself, got a ways to go. But this word kindness means showing goodness with gentleness. Showing goodness with gentleness. That's what kindness means. You get home and your wife says, I hit a pothole. It blew out the tire today. Man, right about then is an opportunity to put on kindness. Or explode. You did what? Now I got to go change it. So he goes out and changes the tire. You know what he did? He did a good thing. He changed the tire. But he didn't do it with gentleness. Do you understand that? pick on husbands too much, I think. But he didn't, he did a good thing. He changed the flat tire. But he didn't do it with gentleness. Honey, the table leg's loose. The table's about ready to collapse. Why are you always telling me what to do? So he gets a screwdriver out and he tightens it up and tightens up the bolts and screws and all the nuts. He did a good thing. He did something she wanted. He fixed the table leg. But he didn't do it with gentleness. See, we're talking about dressing up the inward man. It's when we start to do good things for other people with gentleness. With gentleness. Humbleness of mind, verse 12. Humbleness of mind. I am becoming more and more convinced from my own personal Bible study that humility is one of the greatest powers you can unleash in your life. And pride is the most destructive. Humbleness of mind. We're supposed to put that on. Me and Marv had a good cursing in the nursing home yesterday, didn't we? That was something. We had a shimmy eye experience. We need those sometimes. We were visiting a lady in the nursing home, and right across the hall there was a woman, well, just probably from here to the music stands, cursing, using God's name in vain, and vulgar, loud words and so on, sitting in her wheelchair. And I was talking to this lady, Ida, and just telling her we loved her and cared about her, kissed her on the forehead, held her hands, knelt down by her, and I said, I thank you for your friendship. I'm so glad you came to our church and got saved. I just prayed with her. We got up and that lady said, who do you think you are? You're nothing and that's all you'll ever be. You know, I said, I smiled and said, thank you for reminding me what the Bible says. I am nothing and that's all I'll ever be. She spoke the truth. You know what David said when Shimei cursed him? He said, maybe the Lord will bless me for this cursing today. That's what he said. He was kind to Shimei. Humbleness of mind. We need to put that on. Take some doing, but we need to put that on where we just realize the Bible does say I'm nothing. Galatians 6:3, if a man thinketh himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. We're delusional. If we go around thinking we're something, well, we're nothing. We need to put humbleness of mind on. I left there, I kind of just smirked and said, thank you, Lord. Once in a while, we need to get cursed out. Humbleness of mind is when we condescend to live among others and minister to them, care for them. Well, we got to close here. There's some other things here. Meekness, mildness of manners, long-suffering in verse 12, which means patience with others, persevering for a long time, putting up with people, forbearing one another. Verse 13, that's another piece of clothes we're supposed to put on. Forbearing one another. That means forbearing means to put up with somebody else, to endure. And some of you are in hard situations at work or family or something. You're supposed to put on forbearance every day. Put that on. Don't put your old clothes on. Where you revile and you retaliate, and I'm going to get the last word in. If it's the last thing I do, no, you leave your old clothes in the dirty clothes hamper. Put on something new. Let's put on something new. Forgiving one another, verse 13. Forgive means to release someone of their offenses and choosing not to remember what they have done to you. Trying to reconcile them in friendship. But then it says in closing, verse 14, above all, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. You know what perfectness is? I was studying this out here. Did you ever see a woman like your wife? I hope you're looking at her. But you're going to a wedding. She's not the bride, but you're going to the wedding, and you compliment her and say, now, don't show up the bride, all right? Don't show up the bride. Got her nice dress on and everything, looking real good. hair done, makeup, all that stuff. And then right at the end, before you leave, she puts on her earrings, her bracelet, her necklace, her rings. That's what makes it perfect. Man, you look good. You tell your wife that. And you notice those things, just those, the ultimate ornaments to set off the whole ensemble she's wearing. And that's what charity is here. Charity is that giving, sacrificial love that demands nothing in return. Nothing. And that's when the Christian looks perfect to God. When they love others in a sacrificial, giving way, and they expect nothing in return. Above all. Can you imagine your wife walking out to the wedding and not putting on her earrings, not putting on her necklace, not putting on her bracelets, not putting on her rings and so on and so forth? The holiness people wouldn't like my preaching at all. Back in their day, they'd brand me a heretic. But you read Ezekiel 16 and you look how God decked out his wife. You look how he decked her out with the best. And I like going to events like that with my wife where she's just all decked out. She looks so good. But to me, there'd just be something missing. If that day she didn't wear her earrings and her bracelets, her necklace, her rings, just be something not quite finished, not quite perfect. But when it comes to the spiritual ornaments, above all, brethren, put on charity. Sacrificial. Giving. Love to other people that never demands a thing in return. Brother, I do the same thing. I'll be the first to say I'm guilty. I get into the Word every morning. The Word cleanses me. I get into prayer. Prayer cleanses me. And then I want to go right back to my dirty clothes and put my anger on, evil desires on, those things. It doesn't make sense. One of the fun things I have in marriage is I always go to bed after my wife. She's always the first to bed. And I sleep on the right side of the bed. She sleeps on the left. But on the other side of her is the dirty clothes hamper. I love this. I do this every night. It's a riot. I'll get into bed, and then I'll take off my dirty socks, and then I'll fling them. And I try to clip her nose with my dirty socks. Sometimes she's sleeping. And then I'll take the other one off and wing it or something. Hot days, you can't sleep. You take off your T-shirt and wing the thing across her. And I try to wake her up with the wind, or so on and so on going forth. But it's a riot. But and it's every night. It's just an addiction I have. But after it's all over, and I get up the next day, take a shower, I don't go back to the dirty clothes hamper. So wear them dirty socks and put that. Yeah, just ugh. Just were you ever in a situation where you have to put your dirty clothes back on? Just there's just something not right about that. And we as Christians, we need to start taking some things off of the inner man and leaving them off. Put off. And brethren, I want you to pick out one or two, maybe come and pray about this or pray right where you're standing or something in a moment. But bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind. Boy, humility is the attribute that just opens the floodgates of God's grace. God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. God just, man, humility is so powerful. Humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, putting up with people, forgiving people. Above all things, charity. Let's bow our heads. I'm preaching to myself today, but also on behalf of the Lord, we're going to sing in just a moment. a hymn of invitation. Heavenly Father, help us to dress up the inner man. Thank you for this illustration from an experience everyone in this room has of taking off dirty clothes, cleansing ourselves, putting on clean clothes. Lord, oh, how good we feel after a shower and we put on clean clothes and clean socks, or maybe brand new socks. We put them on for the first time. It's such a good feeling. Lord, transform us, we pray, oh God. By the Holy Spirit of God, transform someone today. Help me. In Jesus' name, amen.